The revelation of Jesus Christ, as John referred to it, it is my conviction that that is what the church must have. Now, if I stumble and I stagger in trying to tell you something, it's because that I get a little tired and haven't done that much, but I still get tired. And I can't express the tiredness to you. You know, I got plenty of strength in my body as far as being strong. And I'm certainly not weary in well-doing. But there are some reasons that perhaps you don't know that from those I do get weary. Now, so I stumble and I stagger, but otherwise I can make it. If you get hungry and you get thirsty, the Lord might say something to us. I certainly have some things in my heart that I'd like to mention myself if he saw fit, and so that there would be a benefit to you. How do you know that God's got a lot of benefits for us? David prayed, and he prayed this prayer. He said, "Oh my soul, forget not all of the benefits of God." That's what I don't want to do. I don't want to forget the benefits of God. All right, if you'll turn over to the 8th chapter of the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ. I want to read a little. It is my conviction, as I said before, that the revelation of Jesus Christ is for the church. The Old Testament is to the Jew. The New Testament is to the Gentile. And the book of Revelation is to the church.
Amen.
God is a trinity of three in one, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And yet he's not three gods. He is a spirit, an eternal spirit that has personified himself in a human body called the Son of God. Therefore, he is one God. The Bible said there's one God. He is one God that manifests himself in three offices. And his operation in life is a trinity. Everywhere that you behold life, and everywhere you consider life, you'll find life to be a trinity. How many of you believe that's true? You say, can you just give us a quick illustration? Let's just run across two or three things to verify the fact that is true. Okay, I've done this before. Let's look at a light bulb. What is a light bulb? There is a current coming in. There is a mechanism inside of the globe to catch the current. And there is the globe that projects the light. 1, 2, 3. Is that right? Look at an automobile. The three major parts of it, what is it? There is a chassis. There is a motor. There is a body. Isn't that right? All right, you look at a home. There's a mother, there's a daddy, there's children. Isn't that right? Look at a house. There's the top, there's the foundation, there's the walls. Look at the heavens. There's the moon, there's the sun, there's the stars. You sit down to eat. There is a knife, there's a spoon, there's a fork. See, no matter which way you look at it, it's always the same.
Amen.
See, God is a trinity. He's a three in one. Everything he does is in a Trinitarian act. And if we'll look at the simplicities of life or the simple things of life, when we do that, then we'll discover God. And we'll learn the way that God works and the way that God projects himself through life. And then when we do, we're able to communicate with God. We're able to understand his desires and his ways of life. Isn't that right? You take a hunter. A hunter will get out in the woods and he'll start trailing a certain animal. Now, he might not see that animal, but he'll trail that animal for days. You know how he does that? He's a hunter. You can't do that, but he can. You know why? Because he is familiar with the ways of that animal. He knows just exactly what he is by his ways. Knows which way he goes, what he'll do, and when you get him under pressure or get him hemmed up, the route that he'll take, so he can trail him right on out. The same way with God, we can follow the trail that God leaves for us if we understand God and understand deity and the greatness of God in His way.
Amen.
All right, maybe I'll say something tonight that'll help you. I hope I can. I heard you singing when I come up. I heard you singing that song. I want to know more about my Lord.
Amen.
All right. So then let's read in the seventh seal. And how many of you will just let me talk to you like I'm talking tonight? I might get to hollering at you. But let me just talk to you and take my time. Let's read out of the eighth chapter of the book of Revelation. I'll just read just a little bit to you here. And when he had opened the seventh seal, and I read this the other night, they've got this on tape somewhere, I read this. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. When he had opened the seventh seal. Now, how many of you know that Brother Branham, that it is believed that he opened the seals of Revelation to the people in the earth? How do you know that that's true? Yet it is a true fact that Brother Branham did not open the seals, nor can Brother Pike open the seals, nor can any man in heaven or in earth open the seals. The Bible said no man in heaven nor in the earth was found worthy to open the seals. The Lamb Himself, Jesus Christ, had to open the seals.
Amen.
Now, so then there is no one that can open the seals to you except the Holy Spirit Himself.
Amen.
But it is a true fact that we are the body of the Lamb. And in that we are the body of the Lamb, then Christ is inside of us. And from within inside of us, Christ, through His membership, through His body, opens the seals of the great mysteries of God to all the world. Isn't that right? For the Bible said, when the mysteries of God are finished, that is, the seals are open, then the end will come.
Amen.
So then, that's what preachers are. They are ministers of the mysteries of God. Paul said, great is the mystery of godliness. And he said, I am made a steward of the mysteries of God. Now, why is it that godliness is a mystery? Because it's something you can't see. It's because God is a spirit. It's because there's no tangible way to get a hold of it. There's no intellectual way to define it. Therefore, it is a great mystery. It is and it is not. That is, it is existent. It is. God is. He was and He shall be. He is. But to man's mind of understanding and comprehension, God is not. Because they can't find Him. They can't define Him. They can't see Him. You understand what I'm saying? They can fathom the depths of the ocean. They can fathom, or they can comprehend, as we would say, the height of the sun. But to see God and to understand God, they cannot do that. They cannot do that. You know why they can't do that? Because the Bible said God has made it abundantly and above all that we're able to ask or think. See, you can't define it by scientific means because you can't think that high. God has set it way up above our thinking. Now, why did He do that? So that it might be a revelation. So that we couldn't learn it. He hath hid it from the eyes of the wise and of the prudent, but made it revelation unto babes such as will learn. See, by doing that, that gives God the preeminence. No man can learn it. No man can fast and get it. No man can pray and get it. No man can study and get it. No matter what he does, men have fasted for 50 and 60 and 90 days. Men have prayed for days, but they can't get it. See, it's not by works, lest Brother Pike could boast, or some other man could say, look what I've done. Not by works, lest any man should boast, but it is the gift of God.
Amen.
Therefore, He giveth more grace to the humble. When we humble ourselves, know that we're nothing, fall prostrate at His feet, then from heaven there comes a gentle voice. It sweeps into us like a mighty rushing wind, the hallowed presence of God come down, and we look to him as the all in all, and he's in the driver's seat, and he does what he will when he gets ready. So he reveals it to us. You cannot search him out. He reveals it. That puts him in the place of preeminence. He is the one that has the reins in his hand. All right, so then that makes it a mystery. It's above all that we can think.
Amen.
All right. That's one reason why I press the issue in that we should believe. Because if God can do abundantly above all that we can ask or think, why should we then reason? See, if he can do more than I can think, more than I can think to ask him, and more than I can ask him, then why reason to begin with? That's why the Bible tells us not to lean to our own understanding. See, but trust in the Word, trust in God, believe in the Word, the promises, with all of our heart.
Amen.
There's a promise of benefit for every need of life.
Amen.
Learn it, find it, trust in it.
Hallelujah.
Believe with all your heart, and then God will reveal himself to you.
Amen.
You will be transformed into an eternal state of being. You understand what I'm saying?
Amen.
How many of you know that you find what you look for?
Amen.
Isn't that right? Some people never find anything but fault. You know why? That's what they're looking for.
Amen.
They're trying to find out what's wrong with the brethren, what's wrong with the church, what's wrong with the situation. So then they find fault. But see, the Bible speaks of the Christian in this way. It said, our eyes are purer than to look upon iniquity.
Amen.
We're not looking for that, see. That's eyes of natural eyes. But we're looking through eyes of understanding by divine comprehension. We are looking for God. Isn't that right?
Amen.
I'm looking for the good in my brother.
Amen.
I don't have to look for my brother's fault. Why, I know he's at fault when he's born into the world. The first thing he does is start hollering when he ought to be quiet.
Amen.
Isn't that right? You say, where do you get that? The Bible says, study to be quiet. The first thing he does is scream out. All right, so I know my brother's at fault from a babyhood on up. That's right. He's at fault. He's born into sin, born into iniquity. Even when he doesn't know anything about it, he's still doing wrong.
Amen.
So then I'm not looking for his fault. I already know that. I'm looking for the good that's in my brother.
Hallelujah.
There's some good that's a mystery and it's hid away. And I'm looking for that good in my brother. Isn't that right?
Amen.
All right. You love Jesus?
Amen.
I made the statement to my son here recently that a wise man is not one that can see the faults and search out the faults and the reasons. That's not a wise man. A man's not wise because he can say, well, old brother so-and-so's blinded, but I see what's going on. He's not wise. That's not wise. Any fool can see that if he looks close enough. But a wise man is one that can search out the matter, see what's going on, see the fault, and then be wise enough to say, I see where he slipped, but by the help of God, I'm going on. And then I'm going to try to reach back and show him the error of his ways. That's a wise man.
Hallelujah.
All right. So then the Bible said that we should be wise in God. Now, you find what you look for. Whatever you're looking for, that's what you find.
Amen.
Which reminds me, or brings to my mind, what Danny said tonight. Danny looked at me and he said, Daddy, he thought I reminded him of Superman.
Praise God.
Well, I was trying to figure out, I was standing over there at the mirror, you know, I was fixing to get ready for church, and I kept trying to find out how that I reminded him of Superman. So he continued on to tell me, he said, Daddy, you've got a curl just like Superman. All right. Johnny had given me a Superman today. Danny had gotten a hold of it and he had got the Superman fever. And he was looking for Superman. And he was telling me how he could walk through the walls and fly away, you know. But see, he found what he was looking for. Now, you say, well, boy, I sure don't see where you favor Superman. But you know what? If you look close enough, you'd find Superman in me just like Danny did.
Amen.
Yes, you would. Somebody would say, now, wait a minute, Brother Pike. How do you believe Jesus was a Superman? He was the only Superman. Christ in you, the hope of glory. See, if you look close enough, he's in there, isn't he? All right. So then it is a true fact that we find whatever we look for. Here in the seventh seal, and when he had opened the seventh seal, getting back to our subject now, the theme of our subject. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. There are some beautiful things here that seem to begin with in the opening of this seal. In the opening of this seal, we see a little censer, a little vial-like thing, you know, a little censer. And we see in that little censer, as we look back at the types and shadows of the Old Testament, that where Aaron used this, it points us to the Revelation. We see that little censer, and we see as the priest, the angels, or Aaron, as he goes into the holies of holies, and just before he enters in, he takes that little censer, he comes up to the golden altar. There he gets a little coal, and he drops it into that thing. All right, now when he drops it into the censer, when it is dropped in, the little coal that comes off of the golden altar, it touches that perfume that they made back there that no man could make. See, that perfume back there was typical of a Christian spirit. And no man could make it. God alone could make it. They'd kill anybody back there that made that perfume, because it was a type of this that was to be today, a Christian spirit. And you take this little body and use it like a censer, and you take a coal of fire from heaven off of the altar, like the angel did when he touched the prophet's tongue with it, and you drop it down in there. And when you drop it down in there, God baptizing us with the Holy Ghost and fire, then we vaporize just like the sun, you know, pulling the vapor out of the water. We vaporize into a holy mist that's called the Holy Ghost. In other words, that prayer of the saints is bottled up as sweet-smelling incense before God. It comes up so beautifully there before God. All right, we see a wonderful thing in this as the seal is opened up. Because in this, there, once this was taken out, then it says here, as this censer was cast into the earth, as it was hurled into the earth, which has to do with the body of the Lord Jesus Christ coming to the earth. When it was hurled into the earth, then there was lightnings and thunderings. There was earthquakes, there was voices, it was all kind of things. Which leads me to believe that at the time that this took place, that it was the bombing, that it was the great atomic powers and hydrogen bombs and so forth breaking loose in the earth. That's what I believe it was. See, it was the blood coming off of the mercy seat. And when it comes off of the mercy seat, then that's when it's happening. Amen. Now you say, Brother Pike, but what makes you think that that's what it is? The reason I believe this, of course, is because God quickens it to me. But when the Lord quickens it to me, I go back and check the Word to see if it'll line up with the Word. Now, when I go back and I check the Word, I turn back to chapter 7, just before we read chapter 8. When I turn back to chapter 7, I find that there are four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth. Some of you remember this because I brought it out in the teachings of Daniel's visions, where Daniel saw these four winds upon the waters wrestling over the people. Now I say wrestling over the people. Daniel said he saw a wind from the east, west, north, and south wrestling over the waters. But I brought it out in Revelation that what it means is that it is wrestling over the people. It means winds of doctrines. See, going back now, God takes types and shadows. God takes types and shadows. If you want to know the voice of God, God here, he used Daniel. Daniel was a spiritual person. So God projected his wisdom and understanding and state of being through the winds. So he brought these winds. And you know, Daniel would understand if he quickened him with the mind of Christ. Daniel would understand, even though he didn't let Daniel understand. Because he told Daniel, said, seal it up, Daniel. See, Daniel couldn't understand it because he didn't have the mind of Christ. So then it had to be sealed up until the day they would come after Calvary, when the mind of Christ would be placed within you and I, and then when the mind of Christ would be placed within us, then that mind of Christ will turn all that them typical things into spiritual revelation, and we'd know what the wind was. So then, said Daniel, you don't understand, but seal it up. But when John came and John saw the same thing, he didn't say to John, seal it up. He said, John, the time is at hand. Is that right? Don't seal it up, he said to John, because the time is at hand. The Spirit of Christ had come, the veil had been rent in twain, it wasn't sealed up anymore. All right, so then when John looked at it here, John sees the same thing. Here are the winds again, four angels standing on the corners of the earth, and the biggest part of the earth is water, remember? And here they stand on the four corners of the earth, and they're holding the four winds of the earth. Now, what are the four winds of the earth? The four winds of the earth are contrary winds of doctrine that is wrestling, as Daniel said, over the waters. And John brings it out in Revelation that waters mean people. So then it is four winds of doctrines, a wind of doctrine from the north, a wind of doctrine from the south, and a wind of doctrine from the east, and a wind of doctrine from the west, all winds of doctrines wrestling over the body of people, so that they can get control of the people and set up their government by indoctrinating them with their theory of theology. Is that right? All right, now I brought it out here. Somewhere you got it on tape, and we won't try to go into it. But I brought it out concerning the winds of doctrines, and I called them the four C's. Isn't that right? I brought them out. Have you remember me bringing that out? The four C's. See if you can remember them while we're talking. I brought it out. The four winds of doctrines was four C's. And I just mentioned this. It was like communism, capitalism, and so forth. You understand what I'm saying? All right. I brought it out about as they stood on the four corners of the earth. These winds was coming, one from the north, one from the east, and one from the south, and one from the west. And they were wrestling over the body of waters that they might get control of them. And about that time, a voice from heaven shouted out, an angel flew through the heavens, and the angel shouted out and said, see that ye hurt not the earth, neither anything on the earth, until we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. And then the angel flew down, and 144,000 people was sealed in their forehead before anything could damage the earth. Is that right? All right, so then we see all the way from Daniel, line upon line, coming right on over to what had been done. All right, and where does the church ages close out? In the sixth seal. If you look at it in the sixth seal, you'll find out that the sixth seal points back to Calvary. It points back to Calvary. How many of you know that John wrote the book of Revelation just a few short years after Calvary? I say this, some of you know it, but I say it to bring it back to your mind, to refresh your mind, to get a thought pattern that we can kind of work to tonight. All right, now, 96 A.D., John wrote the book of Revelation, being exiled to the Isle of Patmos, and what he wrote about was Calvary. You know, it's hard to get a hold of that, but it is a fact that what he wrote about was Calvary. He wrote about the crucifixion. That's what the book of Revelation is. It is the revealed Christ. That's why it's called the revelation of Jesus Christ. Or that is, going back to Calvary, it is the revealing of the inner Christ. See, the veil of humanity continues unto Calvary. You follow me? It continues unto Calvary. But at Calvary, the veil is at an end. The red dragon is cast out. Once you come to Calvary, the red dragon cannot get over Calvary. Amen. Now you say, Brother Pike, can you prove that to us in types and shadows? How have you got time to listen? Let me prove it to you. All right. Now, but when we look back, what do we see? All right, the first thing that we see Israel coming out of Egypt. Is that right? All right, now, the people coming out of Egypt, they're coming over into the wilderness, coming out of Egypt. Now, Israel, coming out of Egypt, coming across the Red Sea. Now, but the red dragon, which is the blood life, cannot get any farther than the Red Sea. Is that right? The Bible said they were all baptized under Moses in the Red Sea. Why was that?
Because the Red Sea had to do with the consummation of God, which is that consuming fire. The flesh cannot get beyond Calvary. There is no way that the flesh can get beyond Calvary. Folks, if we don't accept the Lord Jesus Christ through repentance, by acknowledging Christ through the crucifixion as having been buried with Him in baptism, we will never make it over the Jordan. We'll be buried in the dirt and never have that eternal life. You understand what I'm saying? So then when Israel came to the Red Sea, Pharaoh lost his wheels. Isn't that right? He couldn't go any farther. You ever heard that term, say, I can't come to see you because I don't have any wheels? Well, he lost his wheels. He couldn't get across the Red Sea because the blood life, the veil, the body, which is represented by Egypt, typically speaking, that one which is represented there had to pass away. See, Jesus represented Israel coming out of Egypt. How many believe that? See, out of Egypt I've called my son. Isn't that right? That's why the angel appeared to Joseph and he fled down into Egypt with the son, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. Out of Egypt I have called my son. Out of Egypt came Jesus. But Jesus could not get beyond Calvary. Is that right? See, he couldn't get beyond Calvary. Jesus, when he got to Calvary, God smote him. Is that right? We esteem him smitten of God. Is that right? He was smitten when he got to Calvary. He couldn't get over the Red Sea as a sinful body. The Bible said, he that knew no sin was made sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. Why did he do that? Because he had to become the first man, Adam, and pay for Adam's sins, and Adam had to be smitten because Adam was the veil, and at Calvary had to be smitten. And we brought out a little bit of this today in a conversation. Why was he smitten at Calvary? Because Adam, being the son of the morning, going back to Lucifer, the son of the morning that was in the garden, which was heaven, he could not get beyond Calvary. Is that right? When it refers to Jesus, it doesn't refer to Jesus as the son of the morning, does it? It refers to Jesus as the lamb of the evening sacrifice. Have you noticed that? All right, so Calvary in the evening time. Now then, he couldn't get beyond the veil. Israel couldn't get beyond the veil, crossing the Red Sea. There God smote Israel as far as the natural is concerned. Is that right? And one part of Israel died. What part was that? That part of Israel that was relative to Egypt. Is that right? And then as they journeyed through the wilderness, there came a time when God smote another part of Israel. What part was that? That was the soul part of Israel in the wilderness. Then there came a time when they went into the land of Canaan. Is that right? And God spared the spirit, that which represented the spirit, the children of Israel. But there came a time when that part had to be smitten, and it was taken away into Babylonian captivity and stayed there for 70 years. And then they came out and built the city. Now, there's a lot we could say about that. I think you stayed with me till we got to the wilderness, but some of you got lost, I believe, then. All right. So it is evident, as I have taught you before, that the body is cut off at Calvary, which is the Red Sea. Is that right? And then when Jesus went down into the heart of the earth, it was symbolic of the Christ which had separated from the body, baptized unto death, the spirit, the soul part which had separated from the body, going down through the wilderness, down to the heart of the earth, like Joseph in prison when he was rejected of the brethren. That part was Israel in the wilderness, God purging them, putting them through the fire. Is that right? Where the serpents are wandering through the dry places and seeking rest and can't find it. But then came the time when Israel was to cross over the Jordan. What was the Jordan? It was when Christ came up out of the heart of the earth, and when Christ went beyond the grave. The grave is the Jordan. Coming out of the grave by picking up the body, coming out of the grave, he went over the Jordan, that is, conquered death, And people then knew that he had crossed the Jordan. Is that right? They knew that he'd been resurrected. How do you understand what I'm saying? Coming out of this old body of garlic and onions, coming out of this old world of sight, passing through that realm of intellect, that reasoning, that world of mechanics, getting away from there, coming on through that wilderness, and entering into the mind of Christ, which is the world of faith. The spiritual man. Is that right? All right. So then we come on out. Why? How did we do that? By the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus went through every bit of that. Just like Ruth, when she returned from down there at her pilgrimage. When she returned, when she come out of it, what did she do? She returned back into Canaan. She left Canaan in a time of a famine. Went away, lost her husband, lost her two sons. And then she returned and came back into Canaan in the time of the barley harvest. Now the barley harvest is represented by the body of Jesus Christ. Jesus was the first fruits of them that slept. And God represented that bodily resurrection by the barley harvest of the Old Testament. Is that right? See, they crossed over the Jordan before they ever got their barley harvest. Did you notice that when Ruth got down to Jordan, as we would say, that Orpha turned around and went back? See, the body can't go beyond that. But that which clave to Naomi, Ruth, that which held to Naomi, that Ruth, that was the spiritual part of it. For it said her soul clave unto her. And that was the soul part of it. That was that spiritual being that held on. And she said, thy people shall be my people, and wherever you die, there I'll die also. So she came in. What was it? It was the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was seen later as she married Boaz, begat Jesse, who begat David. Is that right? That become the king and become the grandmother. Is that right? Become the grandmother. All right. So then we see a great thing taking place right at this very moment of precision. We see a great thing. Brother Branham could come up to the sixth seal. But when he got up to the sixth seal, he couldn't get over the sixth seal. Why couldn't he get over the sixth seal? Because he was numbered with the veil. He was represented with the Trinities. He was a Baptist preacher. Brother Branham was a Baptist preacher. Joined the Baptist church. And even though he come to baptism in Jesus' name, was filled with the great Spirit of God, and realized what you had to do to get to heaven, yet he is numbered with the Baptist people, which is John the Baptist. Even the voice said, "Is John forerun?" Now, in that, he couldn't come any farther than Calvary. At Calvary, John lost his head. Isn't that right?
That's right.
And we brought it out here, how that John, the end of the law losing the headship, it couldn't go any farther. As Paul teaches, that we were under the bondage of law. Said as long as a woman's husband lives, she is under the laws of her husband. Isn't that right? But if her husband be dead, then she is at liberty to be married to another. Then why did they have the guillotine to take away the head? Why? Because the head is the husband. So then the law lost the head, and then it was replaced by Jesus Christ. You say, can you show it to us in the scriptures? I can show it to you back there when the prophet was cutting away and all of a sudden the head of the axe went off. Is that right? How do you know that water is a burial and a resurrection? When it went off, what did he do? He said, he said it was a barred axe. Isn't that right? How do you know that you're not your own? You're bought with a price? How do you know that? So then he took a stick, he took that piece of wood and he went down. What was the wood? That was Calvary. That was the cross. What did he do? It brought up the Christ. The resurrection. That's what it was. John picked up the axe and said, the axe is laid to the root of the tree. Every tree that doesn't bring forth good fruit said, well, cut it down. All right, so then in the resurrection, when he comes back up, there we are over the Jordan. Over the Jordan. Been fished out by Calvary. Coming over the Jordan, then we see that there is something that has taken place. The resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Brother Branham got as far as Calvary. When he got as far as Calvary, then you remember I saw his death in the early part of 65, and we brought out the revelation, and there's just a lot of revelation concerning it on the tape and in the book, and still a lot that we haven't been able to bring out to you yet. A lot of it, there is another book I would say that's in the minds of the brethren a bit here and a bit there that we brought out to them individually. All right, so Brother Branham couldn't get over that. See, Brother Branham had the wreck. When he had the wreck, he was right there at the time of the change. Now, we can't go into all of that. If I do, I won't get to bring out some of the other. But you know what I mean. You go back and find your revival over in 16. Brother Branham teaching that the revival ended back there in about 56, coming on up. And you remember that as he came on up, he told that how the revival ended, come on down to 60. I pointed out that 60 was the end of the revival. Then 63, the smiting of the head. And remember how that the head was lost. And then in on down just before Brother Branham's death, we spoke of the recovering of it. How do you remember that? And then when we spoke of Jimmy Carter coming in as the recovering of the head, the wound. Is that right? Are you following me now? Why did Brother Branham say to look out you and see your death at 56? Why did he die at 56? Why is it 56 steps up there right where Brother Parnell lived on that Lincoln step as you go down to the tomb? You follow me? The revelation that took place up there. Some of you don't remember it, I'm sure, but some of you do. It's on tape. All right. So then Brother Branham saw his death at 56. That's fitting because he said the revival was over then. All right, now, so we see that he couldn't get beyond Calvary. He had the wreck. The head was split open. The physician worked with him, but the brain swelled so that the head couldn't contain it. They had to operate on the head. That is to signify that the message no longer could stay within the veil, but the veil was rent in twain. They split the head open to give the brain room to expand. The message coming out as it began to expand the rent veil, and then it come out to the church. Is that right? All right, now, there's a lot we could say about that. But coming on over, we see that he couldn't get beyond Calvary. The sixth seal is Calvary. John said when he saw the sixth seal, he looked and he said he saw the heavens open like a scroll. He saw them depart as a scroll. Isn't that right? Amen. I saw the heavens depart as a scroll, and I saw the ark of God's testament. What is the ark of God's testament? It's the spiritual word that was inside of the tabernacle that Moses built in the wilderness. Who was that tabernacle? Jesus. Somebody said, but Brother Pike, how can that be? It's the physical dimension where Jesus is the tabernacle. How many know that you're the tabernacle of God, membership-wise? You're the tabernacle in the wilderness. How many of you know that? The Bible said, and the tabernacle of God is among men. And the Bible calls you the temple of God. And Peter said, as long as we're in this tabernacle, isn't that right? Lengthen your curtains, strengthen your stakes. Isn't that what he said? So then we are the tabernacle of God, but we're in the wilderness. You say, what do you mean in the wilderness? God refers to people as trees. Isn't that right? Said the trees of God are full of sap. The world out yonder are trees. That's a forest. That's a wilderness. And we're right down here in the midst of them. And when I was a little kid, I remember how you'd go out to plow the fields, go out through the wilderness, see big old snakes hanging around the trees. Is that right? When they went through the wilderness, they had trouble with the serpents. Is that right? A lot of those trees out there, old rotten, hollowed out things. The old heart's just as rotten as can be. And everything hibernates in it from well, coons to I don't know what. Creatures of darkness. How do you understand what I'm saying? Full of snakes just hanging around the wilderness. And the tabernacle is in the wilderness. Oh, spirits of lust and lying and cheating and swindling. That's right. Legions of devils, it's called, the old serpents are hanging around in their branches. Isn't it right? But the Bible speaks of our branches as the birds of heaven, the angelic forces of righteousness coming, dwelling in our branches. Are you understand what I'm saying? Okay, give me just a few more minutes to get into something now. Brother Branham, come as far as Calvary. All right. Jesus was that temple. How can you prove that, Brother Pike? Because it was the fullness of God. He tabernacled in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. God, the eternal Spirit in His fullness, tabernacle in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter said, as long as I'm in this tabernacle. Now, He tabernacled in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. How do you believe that? God is a Spirit. He tabernacled in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. That was that temple that was rent in twain that John saw where the Ark of the Testament came out. Jesus said, destroy this temple, and I'll raise it up in 3 days. And the Bible teaches that they being naturally minded, all they could think about was the type and the shadow. They could think about the Old Testament tent back there. They could think about the temples that they had built with natural stones. But the Bible said, we're the temple of God. You're the lively stones. Isn't that right? All right, so the temple of God was hanging at Calvary. And the Bible said it was rent in twain. The Bible says that they did not know that he spake of his own body when he said, destroy this temple and I'll raise it up in 3 days. They said, well, it took us many years to build the temple. Jesus said, just hang it up on Calvary and I'll raise it up in 3 days. Did he do it? The Bible said when he was resurrected, they knew then what he was talking about. But the veil of the temple was rent in twain. I brought this out a number of times. You say, rent in twain. The Bible said Jesus made in himself both twain too, Lord and Christ. It was rent in twain, which means the Lord was separated from the Christ. The Spirit was separated from the body. That's where we're at today. We reckon ourselves to be dead unto sin by the body of Jesus. Our tabernacle has been rent in twain. Our spirit has been separated from our body. And our body has been buried by death of the Lord Jesus Christ into a watery grave. Is that right? And the Bible said at death the spirit goeth back to God who gave it. Our spirit has been translated into the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is within me. My spirit has been translated into the spiritual kingdom of the living God, which is on the inside of me. And my body has been buried in baptism. It's dead, it's buried, it's gone. That old perverted image couldn't get over Calvary. Isn't that right? Pharaoh drowned it in the Red Sea. Then what am I today? Somebody said, well, you must be a spirit floating around. No. No, that's not what it is. See, God, by foreknowledge, looked down and saw me a finished product. I not only went down into the water to bear the old man, but the Bible said when I came up out of the water, I had lost my identity in death as George, and I come up as Jesus. Hallelujah. How do you know that? And the Bible said, it's not I that liveth, but Christ that liveth within me. And the life I now live, I live by the Son of God. And the Bible said, it shall not be you that speak, but the Heavenly Father that speaketh from within you. We are bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. Is that right? So then we are a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So then we're not in the wilderness anymore. Where are we then? We have been chosen out of the world, caught up with God, and hid with Christ in heaven. The body of Jesus Christ is in heaven. Do you agree to that? Nicodemus said something to Jesus, asked him a few questions, and Jesus said, you mean you are a rabbi or you're a leader of Israel and you don't understand these kind of things? How can you teach somebody when you don't understand? If the blind lead the blind, they all fall in the ditch. Isn't that right? He said, if you don't see spiritual revelation, you're blind. Is that right? Now, blind to spiritual things, having eyes you see not the Spirit. Jesus said, I do always the things I see the Father do. He said, Nicodemus, I'm in heaven. Didn't he say that? He was standing on this earth as a man, but he looked at Nicodemus and he said, I am heaven, Nicodemus. All right, if we are the body of Jesus, where are we today? God has quickened us together, made us to set together these heavenly places. And he is in the midst of us. All right? Let's look at it just a little farther now and see. So then he can't get beyond Calvary. The old man can't get beyond Calvary. It's not us living now. The old man's buried. He's gone. Not to know any man after the flesh. We have known Jesus as a human body, but we don't know him after the flesh anymore. We know him as the second man, Adam, the quickening spirit. I don't know you anymore after the old man. I know you as a quickening spirit. The Christ that liveth, submitting ourselves one to another. Isn't that right? So then, how can I see your fault, my brother? How can I lay anything to the charge of God's elect, seeing that you're God's elect, seeing that God has justified you forever, sanctified you, and the Bible said perfected you forever? How can I find any fault then with you? How can I judge another man's servant? So then I see no fault in you. They judged him and they said, I find no fault in this just man. Brethren, I find no fault in you. Therefore, the accuser of the brethren is the devil, because I find no fault in you. Is that right? The Bible said, before the throne of God, you are without fault. I find no fault in you because of the blood of Jesus. He justified you. That's sufficient. All right. So then he can't get over Calvary. The old red dragon, the bloodline, that crooked generation that John spoke of, that red dragon of the bloodline there, it's cast out at Calvary. John said, I looked. And Jesus said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. He was put out. The blood life couldn't get over the Red Sea. The blood life couldn't get over Calvary. The old red dragon was cast out. Isn't that right? God wouldn't let him enter into the grace of the children of God. All right. So he can't get over Calvary. That's why I say that the blood covering is to the Gentile people. Is that right? Somebody said, now, Brother Pike, you mean from Calvary on, the blood covering is to the Gentile people? No, you got the cart ahead of the horse. See, the first 2,000 years is from the garden over to Noah's day, the ark. Is that right? That's the water world. That's to the Jews. Is that right? So then the next age that comes in is the blood age from Noah all the way through the blood sacrifice of the blood covering up to Calvary. And as the water age ended in a great water deluge in the earth, so did the blood age end with a human sacrifice, a great blood deluge. And that ended the days of the Gentiles, and the red dragon went out. And then came the spiritual age of God, which is called the church ages. How do you agree that's true? All right. Now, but remember, it did not come for everybody. They that have fallen from grace is still under the law. Isn't that right? That is, it did not. It ended back there, and the red dragon was cast out, and John saw the revelation and wrote the revelation of it. John was the disciple of love, and he entered into the spirit of love, and he saw what had happened. Is that right? Now, he wrote about it, but it has taken all of these church ages for these great ministering spirits, the seven spirits of God. Now, there's your seven seals. The seven spirits of God being the seven seals. You say, but Brother Pike, how can the seven spirits of God be seven seals? Because the Bible teaches that we are not to grieve the Holy Spirit. Is that right? Whereby we are sealed. Sealed by what? A spirit. We are sealed. The Spirit is a seal. Grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby thou art sealed unto the day of redemption of the body. Is that right? So then these great seven seals, the great seven spirits, these great, great seven mysteries proportionally projected into the earth in a messenger or a body, proportionally speaking, from the church age beginning of Pentecost all the way down until our day. How many know that the church begun at Pentecost? Coming down through the church ages, there was the seven seals, the great mighty Spirit of God. Nobody could have loosed those seals but Jesus. There was Samson's locks. We brought it out here in a message. The seven locks of Samson. Nobody could have loosed those things. Nobody but Jesus. Is that right? What caused the fall of Samson? He gave away the mystery of his locks. Is that right? What caused Jesus to have to go down in the heart of the earth? What was that? The Bible said he made the mysteries known and spoke things that had been hid from the foundation of the world. And when Delilah got a hold of him, she saw the greatness of his strength. But she saw the reward of getting rid of him in the natural. And so she sent him to the dungeon. But one day the locks began to grow again. Isn't it right? He stayed grinding at the mill. Who was his membership? The Jews. When that head, which was John, was cut off that represented the Jesus side of it, then that membership of the Jews wandered around in the wilderness. They've been grinding at the mill ever since. Is that right? But during this time, Christ has been working in the heart of mankind. Why? It's from Calvary that Aaron enters into the holies of holies. Where is the holies of holies? In my heart. In your heart, He's doing His priest work in our heart. That great Spirit is doing His priest work in our heart. Isn't that right? All right. So then these great seven seals, these great seven mysteries of God, the great mystery of godliness sealed up within seven great spirits. And how do you know there's only one Spirit? Is that right? Come on now. God is a Spirit. Is that right? God is one Spirit. God's not seven spirits. Then what is these seven spirits? The candlesticks before the throne of God. Is that right? The seven great candlesticks, the great seven spirits. What is it then? If it's not God the Spirit, if God is one Spirit, what must it be? Paul said one Spirit, many operations. It is seven divine operations in the earth where God's Spirit puts forth Himself, proportionally speaking, as a measure of the mystery of God, dividing it into seven gigantic steps of mysterious understanding. Like a little precipitation here, like a little dew from heaven, He is melting you down. He is melting you down as the body of Christ, running you through the mill. He's putting you through the mill as in the dark age when they killed the people. And the lives went down, and the sunshine drawed it up into a vapor. How do you understand what I'm saying? See, you dye the waters in the ground. That's the body. Then the sun, which is the Spirit of God, the heat, that which is loving and wooing draws you up in a spiritual form, in the angelic form. How do you know that angels are represented by clouds? But the two kind of clouds is the white cloud and a dark cloud. A dark cloud means trouble, but a white cloud means something good. It means a refreshing. Is that right? There are good angels and there are bad angels. Angels that does not cause a storm in life, but bring the refreshing rain upon you. And then there are angels, dark angels, clouds and experiences that cloud up over you. And those kind of clouds cause you trouble. Storms and so forth. When you see those dark clouds building up, you know trouble's coming. That's Satan causing confusion. All right. So then we see a great thing in what I'm trying to bring out tonight. How are you going to stay with me a few more minutes? All right. There's a great thing in what I'm trying to project tonight. God is doing something in this hour. Right here in this very present hour, like Brother Branham not being able to get over Calvary, you're not being able to get over Calvary, your spirit separated, becoming a spiritual being, going down through the church ages, that second age of the Gentiles is closed out, it's over, the red dragon is defeated, he's already been cast out. Jesus said, "The work is finished, Father. I've cast him out." The man-child come out of the grave, was caught up. Out went the dragon. The blood rule had no more power in heaven. Amen. You understand what I'm saying? But it has taken the church ages for us to comprehend, proportionally speaking, what God did at Calvary. It took all of this time for us to comprehend it. So the book of Revelation is just now being made manifest to the people. But it was wrote a few short years after Calvary. But we're just now comprehending the heights, the benefits of it. Instigated in the mind of God before the world ever was, manifested and finished at Calvary, comprehended in the end time the heights, the depth, the width, and the length, Paul said. All right. So then, coming down through the church ages, we see these great mysterious things happening. When Brother Branham gets down to the sixth seal in his teachings, God let him run right on down to the sixth seal. But the Bible said at the sixth seal, the veil was rent in twain. Brother Branham was reluctant to bother with the seventh seal. He said it belonged to the Jews. He did not bother with it. He just exhorted and taught on it a little bit. Now, but what was the difference? See, the sixth seal where the veil was rent was Calvary. After the opening of the veil, the rending of the veil, then what is left? There isn't anything left except the ark of His testament, which is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Therefore, it's just like this meeting that's coming up over here in Meridian, Mississippi. Reaching from the sixth seal. You understand what I'm saying? Speaking of Brother Branham. Reaching from Brother Branham's experience in death. All the way over to the Meridian meeting, which is the great white tent that they said Brother Branham would come back in. Over to the Meridian, representing the resurrection of Brother Branham. Amen. The third pull, he called it. The other day when Sister Betty and I went off, was riding down the road, went up here to Brother Gilbert's, got our car filled up at the 76 station. We said that was that new government coming in, the celebration of 76. The return of Brother Branham coming back. I hadn't even heard his program on Big Gun. Until that day, I filled up at the 76 station, started down to my mother-in-law, Mrs. Gray. When we started down there in that new car that represented the resurrection of the body and Brother Branham, we turned on the radio and here comes Brother Branham preaching.
Hallelujah.
You understand what I'm saying? A lot of things took place in us going down there, getting her and bringing her back. A lot of things because of what my wife's daddy represents, his name being Guy Lincoln. He used to work the black men a lot in the orchards. They loved him. He'd work hard with them and they had respect for him. See, Lincoln, like with the Jews, the black man represents the Jews, representing the body. A lot to it. My wife representing the body. See, get in the car. We can't elaborate on that, take too much time. But I'm trying to tie some things together enough to where you can understand what we're saying. Are you understanding what I'm saying? All right. Now then, I said that Brother Branham's following would come in. There's just so much I'd love to say concerning those seals, what they mean and how they was opened and so forth. But nevertheless, I believe it. The Lord revealed that to you. But now, the thing is, I said Brother Branham's following would come in. And I said after the Easter season, that would be it. Already, they've been getting come in. Brother Ned Iveson, you know how he came in. You know how Brother James came in. And you know how the different ones, Brother Austin, the others, they come in. Some just before the Easter season. And then after the Easter season, the leaders begin to break to it.
Amen.
I made the statement, Brother Branham's followings represent the Jews.
Yeah.
What does it say concerning the Jews? That a nation shall be born in one day. Why can a nation be born in one day? The Bible said, who has ever heard of such a thing? Before Zion travailed, she brought forth her sons and daughters. A nation born in one day. You follow me? All right, now. Why? Because Jesus travailed for us. That was Zion in travail. All right, now. So then the nation born in one day, we see with that Brother Ned Iveson coming in. Why is the nation born in one day? Because God deals with the Gentiles as individuals, saying, let whosoever will come and partake of the waters of life freely. Let every man work out his own salvation. But he deals with the Jews as a nation, saying a nation shall be born in a day. How could a nation be born in a day? Because Jews are not like Gentiles. You can't tell Gentiles anything and get them to believe it. They got to figure it out. When they get it figured out, then they'll take it. If they don't get it figured out, they won't take it. But not with the Jewish people. The Jewish people didn't like that at all. The Jewish people know that God has ordained a ministry, a priesthood, and that they're subject to that priesthood. And when that priesthood tells them something, they believe it. Brother Branham's followers are like that. You'll get turned out of the synagogues if you don't believe Malachi 4 and 5. So then whatever the priesthood says, that's what they believe. If the leaders say it, they won't go any way contrary to it. So then if the leaders be converted, then the following will automatically come. Isn't that right? Somebody would say, Brother Pike, you don't mean to tell me you believe in leaders. He's going to come over here and accept this. Yes and no. He said, what do you mean by that? I mean they will accept it just like Brother Ned did. He accepted it. But they're not going to cross over because the elders died in the wilderness. You follow me? But when they come and they repent, when they apologize, when they acknowledge it, and the people, the sheep, the following, see that though they have preached against it, though they have cried against it, all of a sudden they turn around and acknowledge it, then the little sheep are going to say, wait a minute, if they acknowledge it, it must be right. And that's when the children are going over the Jordan. What do you mean over the Jordan? Over that intellectual priesthood control that's usurping authority over them, that intellectual mind of death. They're going to ride over it and come into the glorious liberties of the sons of God. All right. So then we see it coming. Now look, just a little bit longer. There's a lot of things I'd like to say, but it's taking a little bit too long. For your sake, not too long for God. He's got plenty of time, you know. But anyway, here comes Brother Bob Wells recently. How do you remember the meeting over in Ivor I brought out the other night? The school building, the children crossing the Jordan and so forth. All right, now, here comes Brother Bob Wells with Brother King the other day. See, Brother King, the man child born, going away into the wilderness, lives way out in the woods, you know. There were times, time and half a time, Brother Bob Wells having fell away from God and been gone about 3 years or more. See, the woman going into the wilderness. It was Bob Wells that was in Florida when the angel of God came to me and when the Lord came and put the ring on my finger. It was Bobby Wells that came there when J.T. Parnell was there in Hialeah, Florida, and saw the vision going out and us coming in that we said had to do with Brother Branham. And it proved out to be so because there where that "Be still and know that I'm God" sign was put in Hialeah, Florida, there as the old, we have the picture down here where we're standing under the new "Be still and know that I'm God" in the tabernacle of Brother Branham after his death. Revelation to it, a lot we can't go into. But Brother Bobby Wells was there at that time. Bobby had to do with the breach over. Let's just look at it and see if it had to do with the breach over. Bobby had to do with the breach over. When we went to the Carolinas from Mississippi, coming over the Jordan now, the Mississippi River, landing on the moon, you remember what I brought out about it, went up to the Episcopal campground. Remember, the church is made like a cross. There, Brother Bobby Woodruff, who seemingly had been our friend down through the years, there Bobby brought about a typical crucifixion. Bobby would not fellowship us because he was allied with Brother Lee Vale and Brother Ned Iverson. Now you listen to me. I remember that trip. Some of you was with me. It was day and night there. We spent the night out on the trees. We spent a day and a night there. But that day that we was there, put it that way, we went to meet Lee Vale. Bobby Wells and treated us real good. Bobby Woodruff did not. Woodruff, like a cross. Bobby did not entreat us well. Bob Wells did entreat us well. Now, I remember me speaking to the fall of Bob Wells. You remember that about the woman, the fall? But afterwards, he was to come back. I believe I mentioned a little of it in Spiritual Conquest. All right, now, Bobby come back the other day here. Brother Bob Wells come here, stayed all day long. Bob repented. Bob stood and made a statement something like this. Bob Wells, he said. Bob Wells, who had all the answers. Bob Wells, who had studied. Bob, who had read the books. Bob, who had screamed out over the radios, "Follow the prophet." Bob, who said, "Are you in the message?" He said, "I come to find out I didn't even know what the message was." One of the strongest leaders in the Brother Branham following. There's pictures where he's had his picture taken with Brother Branham. And he followed me, what I'm saying? He came back to acknowledge what we were doing here at Little Bethlehem. Why did he do that? Because I said he was the breach over. From Brother Bobby Woodruff's. You remember when Bobby was making the tapes of Brother Branham and got tapes from everywhere, set up, bought an expensive recorder? And I said that he will leave off with that, that that will be the changeover. He got one message from us, the rending of the veil. When he did, he sold his equipment, quit making the tapes. Everything went out concerning Brother Branham. Why was it? It was the changeover. Bob Wells came around. When Bob came the other day, what did he have to do with? Said at the sounding of the trump, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Ned Iverson, dead. Bobby Wells, dead. The William Branham followers, dead. The Jews from the rending of the veil from Calvary, the Jews are dead. They're wondering. They lost their head. When Brother Branham died, they died. And Bob Wells, Brother Ned said they're split up in splinters. Brother Bob Wells came here acknowledging the truth. Brother Bob indicating the resurrection of the dead about 3 years of being gone. Right, how do you follow me? Right. From that Episcopal meeting where we met Bob, went around to Lee. However, you remember I said that at Brother Branham's death that the message went into a veil, Lee veil, the intellectual. Amen. You remember saying that? The Episcopal Church is a cross. How do you know that they didn't let them go back in the holies of holies up there? They had to minister on the little veranda like this. Is that right? I said that Bobby Wales would rend the veil. He did. Lee Veil being a great Bible scholar, got up there and he kept preaching. And every time he'd get to a passage of Scripture that he knew the Greek concerning, he would say, "Now this reads like this in the King James Version, but that's not the way it's supposed to be." And he would quote the Greek. Bobby was sitting there listening to him, and it finally got the best of Bobby because he kept explaining away the King James Version. Bobby had remembered that Brother Branham had made the statement that the Greek scholars did not agree. So then Bobby went up and he told him, he said, "I'm tired of this nonsense." Said Lee, "Stand up there saying the Bible don't mean what it says." Said even Brother Branham said those Greek scholars don't agree. So Bobby had went and checked when Brother Branham made the statement, got two different Greek scholars' books, put them together, and they didn't agree. So then he was right there to where he could rend the veil, and he did. Him and Lee tied up. And he said, "Lee," he said, "that's nonsense." He said, "You know that them scholars don't even agree themselves." So when the veil was rent, what happened? Calvary, the cross, down went Bob. They rejected him. Isn't that right? Come on now, you listen to me. Two Bobbies up there, one on one side, one on the other side. Down went Bobby. What did he do? He fell from the cross. Down, down, down went Bobby. Are you listening to me? Where did he fall to? The preacher's graveyard called Macon, Georgia. That's what they call it. Down he went. What happened when he went down there? There's a man by the name of Palmer. The Palmer worms was there. When he went down to the grave, the worms almost got him. You understand what I'm saying? Down he went into the preacher's graveyard. And he laid there. And I made the statement. I said, "Now just wait. We'll meet again." Didn't I say that? By some unknown reason, only God can tell what it was. Our equipment was sent down in that area, and they stopped in Bob Wells' yard. And Bob said the other day, said, "I never could understand that. How did that work around and stop right in my yard?" What was it? The revelation of Jesus Christ. That's what it was, the truck. You understand? What was it? It was the resurrection that was coming in. They rejected him. And it picked him up through the grave and went through that dispensation. Like I said, concerning the man that's over in jail, Brother Homer Brown, over at Brother Junior Jackson. Y'all know what this had to do with Brother JT's tent and Brother Frank and I meeting at the Pyramid Village, his own tape. A lot of that I can't take time to explain. It would confuse you if I did. I'd put in too much. Now, Junior Jackson getting on the white horse at Brother Branham's death. Junior being the dreamer. Going through that age with Homer Brown. Corruption. Going through that age. You understand what I'm saying? When that age was over, then the veil was to be rent. While it was going through that age, Lee Veil was to have control, death, intellectual knowledge, Jordan. Going through the veil. You understand what I'm saying? The followers dead. The head cut off like the Jews wandering. The spirit of Brother Branham withdrawn from them. Like Brother Bobby said, we made a mistake. Said we got the man's message, but we didn't get the man's spirit. That's what I told him years ago. The very thing that we told him. That they got the letter, just like Moses, they got the letter, but they didn't get the spirit of Moses. They got the message of it. The letter killeth. You follow me, folks? All right, so then down, down he went. The whore is the deep ditch, the flesh. They that abhorred of God shall fall therein. But in the last days, the latter times, many of them that have knowledge shall fall. God's going to purge them. A lot of great men falling. God's purging them and bringing them back up. All right, so God saw the weakness of Bobby and used him in that field of weakness. But brought him back up. It was the breach over. From up there, it was the breach over. Brother Bobby Woodruff getting that rending of the veil. There it happened. I saw Bobby's house on fire. I said God would put him through the fire because he was trying to get me to preach false doctrine. Bobby wouldn't try to get me to preach false doctrine. Bobby's a fine person, Bobby Woodruff. But Bobby didn't understand. God was using him in that cycle. He thought he was carrying Brother Branham's message. But that wasn't it. It was just a group of brethren together. Lee Veil's idea about it. You understand what I'm saying, folks? Some of the others' ideas about it. But it was wrong. All right, now. So then it come on over. Brother Bobby Wells breached it over. Now listen just a little longer. Brother Bobby Wells breached it over. Over it come. Down through the cross. All these things. Centerville. You remember how I brought it out? About the old engineer of the pillar of fire going over his house. Yeah. The seagulls having to do with the seagulls. You remember that? Yeah. Bob Wells going down there to that church's own tape. All through that, coming on over here. Now, what did that have to do with you? Say, breach it over, Brother Pike. What do you mean, breach it over? That was the crossing of the Jordan, coming from over the western perspective, coming over the Mississippi, picking it up. And then we picked it up there at the Mississippi. It started. Now, but the final part of it to be manifested was here at Little Bethlehem, right here at the Siwa. So then Bobby is resurrected. He goes by, picks up Ted King, the woman coming out of the wilderness. Amen. The man child caught up. The woman coming out of the wilderness. You understand what I'm saying? The resurrection of the king before the skin worms got him. Coming over. The body of Brother Branham coming up before the palmer worm got him. The Bible said, what the palmer worm has destroyed, I will restore it. Who was the leading man? It was Brother Palmer. That's nothing against Brother Palmer. I don't mean it that way. I believe he had good intentions. I believe he tried to do good. I'm not speaking against him or Lee. I'm only speaking what I understand of the revelation of the Lord Jesus. It was Brother Palmer that traveled around everywhere because he had the money to do it. And indoctrinated the brethren and has control of the brethren. Brother Palmer. But God said, I will restore what the palmer worm got. You say, what do you mean the palmer worm, Brother Pike? I mean, when we get into intellectual quotes, God said, I will help thee thy worm, Jacob. That brings the flesh into it. That's a worm. Is that right? It could be the pike worm, the palmer worm. It could be the tailor worm. It could be any kind of worm. You understand what I'm saying? I'm speaking spiritually, folks. But we're talking about Christ. The hope of the resurrection on the inside of you. The revelation, the revealing of the Jesus. Is that right? The hope of glory. Alright, so then Brother Bobby Wells breached it over. Now, what did Bob Wells have to do with it? The day that Bobby come up here, the cat. Going back now to something, if you'll look at it here. You know, how many know the lions in the cat family? The cat that come in. Whose cat was it? The open door. He come over from Brother Mitch's. The cat that come in, he brought a lizard. A live lizard into the house. You know that old red dragon? Amen. There he was, and Bobby got excited and run over and jumped on him. Killed him, and out he went. I didn't understand what I'm saying. Somebody said, you're a crazy preacher. Oh, Paul said, foolish to hide it from you smart folks. God revealing himself in simplicity, Brother Branham said. All right. So then we see this. Somebody said, but that's crazy. No more crazy than when Moses said, make yourself a snake and stick him up on a pole and everything will be all right. All right. So then we see it. How do you see what I'm saying? This ain't no more foolish than Daniel's was. When Daniel saw a lion with wings standing up in the heart of a man in him, tigers flying around or leopards flying around, so forth. Same thing. All right, speaking spiritually, how did he breach it over? Because the resurrection, Calvary, Brother Woodruff, the casting out of the dragon, the end of the teaching where Brother Ned and him been calling that was intellectual. How many know that Brother Ned was a Presbyterian preacher? Presbyterian means the aged one, the elders dying in the wilderness, represented by them. Is that right? All right, so then, when we look at it now, the way that Bob breached it over, the angel putting the ring on the finger, or rather Jesus, and then seeing the angel, something he dropped, and then it was restored. Now, I can't go into all of this tonight, but I'm going to say it like this. The lost and the found of Utica Pike, have you remember that? The law confirming it, the spoken word, Billy having the revelational brochure in there, and we, you know, just exactly how it goes, it's on tape. Sister Betty caught the revelation, you remember when we was up there, the Texaco station going down in the west, is that right? the Lone Star State. Now, have you listened to me? I'm just jumping about to try to bring it to a close here because it takes too long to go into it. Have you know the baptism at Spring Street? You remember that? I baptized Brother Cox. You remember it? Well, you say, what does that have to do with? It had to do with Brother Bobby Wells going over into Israel. Brother Bobby Wells laying down in the tomb of Jesus when the lights was out. Brother Bobby Wells turning the Bible to a certain thing in the Bible, a little Bible that come from Israel. He turned it to a certain thing, opened up, read the Bible. When he got back to the Carolinas, see death, burial, resurrection, caught up to heaven. Gave it to Bob Pickles. Bob Pickles come down here, gave it to me, and gave it to me with the word of prophecy of resurrection. Amen. And I said, what's that got to do with it? The same man that gave Brother Branham the little cufflinks that was hewed out from the stones of Calvary, he went and lay down in that same tomb the same way that Bobby did, got up, made those stones, and handcuffed Brother Branham unto death. Is that right? The prophecy unto death. Then came Brother Bob Wells. There came the little Bible, the Word, come back all the way over after Brother Branham had gone out, came all the way back from Calvary. We went over to Israel. Here is the words of prophecy that brings about spiritual conquest, where we're standing on the heap of stones at the top of those stones on spiritual conquest, which is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Brother Bob Wells brought it back. How did Bob reach it over? I took that little Bible, went up to Brother J.T. Parnell's place, way up to Brother Cox's place, really. Brother J.T. come there. We was watching the film, 3 minutes to midnight. Brother Branham, the closing out of the age. 3 minutes to midnight. You understand the change? The foolish and wise virgins. God impressed me, and I gave that Bible to Brother J.T. Parnell. The next day, I went down and baptized Brother Cox in the same river where Brother Branham was, the same place where the angel of God appeared to him. Do you follow me? Now, I don't know what took place. They took some pictures, and they said some things happened. But that's between you and them. But anyway, on Utica Pike, I had spoken of a meeting at Utica Pike when I didn't even know whether or not there was a church at Utica Pike. I said, there'll be a meeting there and I will be in it. It worked just exactly around. I didn't try to get it. I'd never even been there. I didn't even know where Utica Pike was, but it worked around. I said, Brother J.T. Parnell is looking for me one day. Did I say that? I said, he's looking for me. And it was just a few days later that J.T. got in touch with me. Said, I've been looking for you for a number of days. Said, you're a hard fellow to get a hold of. Wanted me to come hold a revival Lafayette, Hamilton, Ohio, and then all of a sudden wanted me to go to Utica Pike. Had such a revival, so many people. You remember they got the papers out there, took pictures, said they never had that big a crowd before. Brother Billy Branham got a hold of the brochure, The Revelation of Jesus Christ. How do you remember that? We went over there, had the picture taken onto the Be Still, Know That I'm God. Billy wanted us to ride down to the spoken word, went down there. The lost and found was confirmed by the police in that purse. Lost at the spoken word by the dark men, confirming it as the law in the veil. Sister Betty said, I believe that purse will be found over at Utica Pike. It was found at Utica Pike by a woman that lived right at the end of Spring Street where Brother Branham done the baptizing. Sister Boggs, a sister we did not even know, got up out there at Utica Pike and said, I just got to testify. Said, I had a vision years ago, and God said something was lost concerning Brother Branham. The vision went from me and said, now here we are over here at Utica Pike. And said, all of a sudden this vision come back to me. Said, that vision told me, said, it is lost concerning Brother Branham. Said, it will be found at Utica Pike. And she said, all of a sudden that vision come back and said, folks, God said, this is that thing found at Utica Pike now. And it was proven to be so. The loss of the purse of the Texaco, the Lone Star, and being found by the woman at Spring Street, being found there at Utica Pike. Now, if you understand what I'm saying, immediately to show you it was the changeover, Billy had the revelational brochure. They had never put out the books, The Revelation of Jesus Christ, before. But immediately from that time, the people began to get the book, The revelation of Jesus Christ. It's always been called the spoken word. The spoken word within the veil, the original seed, Brother Branham said, coming up to Calvary. From Calvary, it's not the spoken word. It's Christ revealed within you, the revelation of Jesus Christ, the unveiled word. So then they have the revelation of Jesus Christ to show that it had picked up there, went through the resurrection, through the tabernacle, everything, with the brochure, come right straight on down. And then what happened? Just as quick as we started functioning right here, they closed out their books called the revelation of Jesus Christ, went right back to the spoken word, and I was continued on the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's plain enough for a blind man to see it. Now, to make it even more profound, Brother Bobby Wells was the man that was to breach it over from Brother Branham that is going through the Brother Woodruff thing. You understand what I'm saying? Now, are you going to listen about 5 or 10 more minutes? It's going to take about 5 or 10 more minutes if I hurry. This is why I said it had to do with the sixth seal. And now is the opening of the seventh seal, which is the rapture of the church, the mysteries of God revealed. Brother Branham finishing the mysteries, closing out the church age, then comes the seven seals and they're revealed to the people. All right, now, look at Brother Wilson in the assembly 7 years, closed out the church ages, the Trinity, Leon Jr., Leon Wilson, Leon Pike, you follow me? I'm going to try to say this hurriedly. Over at Pope, you follow me? Come out, it was a Jesus name church that was established. Brother Wilson was Jesus' name to begin with. Sister Betty and I went through that many years ago. He become a Jesus' name. A seed that died fell into the assemblies of God. You follow me? A seed must die, isn't it right? Before it can bring forth life. The assemblies of God represented the woman. You say, where do you get that? They split off from the assemblies of the Lord Jesus Christ. They had a split way back in 1900. Isn't that right? The assemblies of God one way, the assemblies of Jesus Christ another way. How do you understand what I'm saying? So then it was the woman, when the seed fell into the ground, it brought forth the harvest. The woman carries the child. So the Trinitarian veil carried it. Jesus left the Jews, went to the Gentiles because it was the veil. Then in the end, when the child was born, caught up to the throne, then comes the Jews back. Isn't that right? Amen. All right. Now, I'd have to go into reverse there to show you some things. We ain't going to do that. That'll confuse you. All right. So then, Brother Wilson, he was already Jesus' name, but had to go through the maturity and the caring. When he finally matured to Jesus' name, the Bible said the woman cast out her sorrow. Then was the child born. It was caught up to the throne. How was that? Married Pope. The red dragon waiting to kill it. But it was caught up to the throne. Where was the throne? Little Bethlehem. How do you understand what I'm saying? Little Bethlehem. The house of bread. See these lights that represent the throne? Seven candlesticks before the throne. God made it that way for a time. All right, caught up. Now look at it. Brother Wilson, then was to go down to Douglas. Why was he go down to Douglas? Why must he go down to Douglas? Because Reuben Brookshire is there at Waycross to finish the cross experience in its type. The lot of women preachers down there. What was it the brother said he had to set till 14 women preachers preach before he could ever preach? Amen. All right, down there it was to be the end of America, the woman preacher. Now, you remember how I bring that out about the woman carrying the child. While she's carrying the child, the husband gives into her. Remember, America's the woman in the type, and Israel is the male. Gives into her to keep from marking the child. Mark of the child how? By the mark of the beast. What kind of mark of the beast? By intellectual reasoning. Is that right? Amen. You understand what I'm saying? If God presses her at that time and tries to tell her the word of God at that time, what happens? That woman, being the weaker vessel, she'll get that in an educational, intellectual indoctrination. Isn't it right? An intellectual indoctrination if God presses her with the word. That's what they did in the days of Moses. Isn't that right? Turned into an intellectual. How do you follow what I'm saying? So then God doesn't do it. That's why Brother Branham's folks got into trouble. He just let the woman go by giving her grace. But when the child is born, Then God lays down the law. The Jew becomes the head of the nation. America's government is finished. And the Jew said, it will be like God said. All your frolic is over. The child has been born. The woman's got to go through the 7 years of purification in the Old Testament. When the child is born, then the Old Testament says 7 days that she has to go through the purification before she can come back to her husband. That's what the 7 years of tribulation is for. When the child is born, then she goes through the 7 years of tribulation for a purification. Then she comes back to her husband. The man child is caught up before, rides over the tribulation, sets down in the throne, being caught up in the throne, sets down in the throne of the millennium to rule with a rod of iron. And you follow what I'm saying? So then it had to be that Brother Wilson went down to Douglas to end the woman part of it. The woman preaching thing was to be closed out. I told you that before Brother Wilson ever even thought about going down to Douglas. I remember that. Amen. Going down there to be closed out. God put it in his heart then to go down there. He went down to Douglas. It was closed out. And we could go into a lot of what happened the other night when Fred Smith come up here. But nevertheless, just condensing and hurrying on now, talking about the revelation of Jesus Christ, a present day truth in the hour in which we live. Now, as it come forth, Brother Wilson went down there. I told the brethren, I said, now Brother Terrell's meeting, Brother Terrell breaching it over from Brother William Branham. You follow me now? Breaching it over. Now you remember the vision I had about, I spoke of Brother Terrell and how I faced him in the vision and so forth. You remember that. He's got it on tape here somewhere. You remember how I said that he would dovetail Brother Branham's ministry out. How do you understand that? See, what he does, it's Brother Allen, Brother Roberts, or Brother Roberts and Brother Allen and Brother Terrell. Isn't that right? Coming down on the woman side, the Trinity side, coming right on down to Brother Terrell, Brother Walden, right on down to them. You understand what I'm saying? On the Trinity side, and then finally they get to be Jesus' name. But Brother Terrell got caught in between because he was the bridge over. He was the breach over. See, he was still with the woman. He still believes in women preachers. That's why he set up those outposts out there. The woman fleeing away in the wilderness when the revelation of the child was born. The message of revelation come in. The woman, which was the A. Allen thing, coming down to Brother Terrell, breaching it over. When it come over, then the woman went away into the wilderness. How do you understand what I'm saying? The child caught up to the mind of Christ, the revelation of Jesus Christ. I wish we had time to preach this tonight, or I wouldn't have to cram about 2 weeks into about an hour and a half or something. But anyway, listen just a few minutes now, and maybe the Lord will piece the other together for you. You remember about Brother Frank's car, the car I had, the 6,000-mile tour, the tornadoes and all those things, how they fit into the situation. Spiritual conquest will help you to understand what I'm saying. The Elisha spirit, you remember that, the returning of it down there in Del Rio, Texas. How many remember that? That's on tape somewhere, isn't it? Didn't we bring out something about that? All right, well, you can go back and check that and fit it all together. All right, now then, when this happened, it happened through Brother Terrell. It come right on down to Calvin Baldwin, right on down to Brother Delmer Baldwin, right on over to the tent that we gave him, right on over to the white car, and then the tent was set exactly in the place where we spoke about the vision and the revelation of the spirit of Elisha returning back. You got that on tape. All right. So then it was to come over. It was to breach over to prove that it was right. Brother Terrell, all of a sudden, he proclaimed that he was the prophet of the hour. That God had showed him a vision where Brother Terrell and Brother Branham went away together on a long fast. Brother Terrell returned, Brother Branham didn't. Some white birds full of spots was with Brother Branham that came over to Brother Terrell. And Brother Terrell said, I cleansed them by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Are you listening? Somebody said, now, Brother Pike, you don't think that I am stupid enough to believe that Brother Branham's followers was full of spots. I'm just going by what the vision showed and what Brother Branham said. Brother Branham said he was there at that cave, and when his following came in, he looked at her, and her name was Mrs. Methodist, and she was full of spots. Said she was white and full of spots. It agrees with what he said. In that righteous, say, where does the Mrs. Methodist come from? Holiness comes from Mrs. Methodist. The birth comes from Mrs. Methodist. Is that right? John's Wesleyan sanctification, a new method brought forth a child. Isn't that right? Amen. Is that right? A Pentecostal child. How do you understand what I'm saying? Right. From Mrs. Methodist. How did Mrs. Methodist get into it? Because the man that pastored Brother Branham's church was a Methodist preacher before he went there. Is that right? How then is the child born? Don't connect this with me because it doesn't have anything to do with the flesh. But the revelation. Somebody came to me and said, Brother Neville, before his death, said the people talking about preaching Brother Branham's message, said I don't know but one person that preaches it, that's Brother George Pike. You say, Brother Pike, that ruined everything. Well, from Mrs. Methodist came the child. The revelation of Jesus Christ has nothing to do with me. The man's dead. He has nothing to do with me at all. You understand? He's speaking about Christ, the revelation. God prepared the man's heart to say it. The preparation of man's heart is from God. Whether it be good or evil, he said, I brought it and created it. Isn't it right? I had my way in it. All right. So then it did come over. I faced Brother Terrell in the vision, and God showed me that Brother Terrell had taken my ministry. He said in the vision that this is your ministry and that's Brother Terrell's ministry. God said that in the vision. I didn't have anything to do with it. And I said, watch and see if Brother Terrell don't start talking about the revelation of Jesus Christ and say that God give it to him. He'd done exactly that. Isn't that right? But it is a true fact that God allowed him to say that he was the prophet of the age, to close it out like we said, to show the breach over. See, because the male perspective of it is not the Trinity, it's the Jesus name that split off in the early 1900s, the gateway of the West. You follow me in what I'm saying? But the woman was to come back to her husband. The Trinity coming back to the Jesus name. Is that right? America coming back to the Jews as the head of the nation. Have you understood what I'm saying? Where is that? When Alan finished it, remember two sons born, A.A. Allen in the desert with miracles and all kind of things. Trinity, Jesus' name, Brother Branham over here at another place, old Tucson and new Tucson. Just before you get to the Rocky Mountains, it's called the Vale. You get to the Rocky Mountains, it's Great Divide. There where I saw the tornadoes, and there's just so much we say about it. But anyway, Brother Wilson, to get on and finish right quick here, Brother Wilson went down to Douglas. Brother Terrell came down to Douglas. And when he came down there, it denoted the changing over. Brother Reuben Brookshire spoke of him falling, that a woman would get a hold of him, he'd fall. He did it. A clean, upright man, he fell just exactly like God said he would. Waycross. You understand what I'm saying? The death of the woman, going out, the finishing of her. Why? She goes out into a twilight sleep when the child is born. Then comes the child. Over, Reuben, the firstborn, caught up to the throne. Reuben was just baptized in Jesus' name to show it by Brother Walden, who we led into Jesus' name. Just like we led Brother Wilson Hembry into Jesus' name up here and numbers of others. We spread the message of Brother Branham all over the different parts of the nation. But those men that's come in there and took credit for it, they've come in there and built on that to build them something out of it when they didn't even introduce it in the Carolinas and all around. You understand what I'm saying? Sister Betty and I travel on Maple Pop tires around the nation introducing it. All right, now then, when we saw the death of Brother Branham, God showed us what would happen in putting that ring on our finger. Saw the death of him in Hialeah, went right over to Miami, crossing over the gap there, and the angel of God come and give the vision, put the ring on our finger. We did not know what it meant till we come here, and we got the fullness of it. It relates back to Salem and the little house over there. Even relates back to what Sister Betty had done yesterday, I believe, in signing a check. Put 19 and 55 on it, wasn't it? Can you imagine that? About 22 years, right back when we started our ministry in the renewing of the youth. How do you understand what I'm saying? She don't make them kind of mistakes. That's abnormal. But she did it. Who did she give it to? Mitch, the open door.
Hallelujah.
What was it for? You ever heard of the Song of Solomon? It was to get the paper so that we could put out these songs. Where were the songs going? They're going to Brother Branham's following through Brother Green, the Tabernacle of Jefferson of Tucson, Arizona. How do you understand what I'm saying? How is it coming about? Through Brother Tidwell at the Hilltop Studio, his presence. Just on and on and on. You follow me? All right. So then, Brother Wilson was to pick it up down there. That was to end Brother Terrell in that cycle. Not against Brother Terrell. I don't mean that against Brother Terrell. God still used the Brother Terrell. But that was the end in the cycle. The woman part of it. The flesh part of it. Now it was to be the sons of God. The manifestation. The man with a revelation. You. Caught up to the throne. The mind of God. The membership. The next move of God. Here, Brother Wilson left off with it. Come back up here. Went over to Meridian, Mississippi. I mean, what has Meridian, Mississippi got to do with it? Oh, it's got a lot to do with it. If you could talk to Brother Taylor about the old red truck, the old red dragon going out at Taylor's junkyard over there, Sister Linda going on a 3-day fast over there that just about killed her. She never done that in her life. There's a lot of things to that. Brother Taylor and them leaving us going back to the city of Seven Hills, almost getting killed, coming back never leaving us again. There's just so much to that. The Ku Klux and all that. You remember the veil being taken away. The Ku Klux, how we overcome the Ku Klux there. All right, now, coming back from down there, leaving Douglas, was to come here. The veil was over. The child has been born. America's at an end. Predicted that the government would come out of Atlanta, Georgia. Jimmy Carter caught up to the throne, ruling with a rod of iron, lifting the ban off of world travel, making it one great government and fellowship like we said it would do. You understand? Here, going to Meridian, Mississippi, which had to do with those things of which we spoke, have you noticed that Harvester Herald, which is David, King David, in the type coming in the millennium, David started Harvester Herald. End Harvester Herald, and I know some of you mock me about this, but that shows that you should watch what you're doing. You don't understand spiritual things and you mock. They put one of my pictures in Harvester Herald. That was a younger picture of me when I was about 30-something. One of Betty's pictures in it. Betty's picture come from the valley over in Alabama. And I could say some things concerning that, but come from the valley. My picture was taken in Meridian, Mississippi. That picture was taken in Meridian, Mississippi, and God put it in the Harvester Herald. Because the Harvester Herald, which is the new harvest coming in. You remember what happened tonight, Brother? Brother Leon brought the wine in there at 4 o'clock in the morning. Y'all know what happened in there. All right, now. That Harvester Herald had that picture in it. We wasn't trying to play off young. How could I look any younger in a picture than I already am? I've been born again. So then, I wasn't trying to do that. If I'd have been trying to do that, I wouldn't have let them put the picture up under that picture while I was preaching in the tent. That had just been taken a few days back. You understand what I'm saying? It had to do with the tent, the resurrection. You know that old movie theater up there? It being winter, went into the ground through the winter. The resurrection coming up in the spring. Meridian, a time meridian. The crossing over, the resurrection of the youthful picture. The resurrection of the ministry. Coming forth as the beginning of a great thing. Brother Branham coming up to the Meridian meeting at the time meridian. And that's the end of it. I preached the other night, time should be no more. I brought it out about the sun of the morning, the shadows, and proved to you that time wasn't anymore. To them that can see it, and them that can understand it, and them that can believe it. It is to them out there in the world because they got the mind of time. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is his environment. So is he. How do you understand what I'm saying? Okay, so Meridian, Mississippi, we preached about the woman on the moon, America, the red dragon. You remember how we brought it out concerning Russia over there and the catching up the man child? You understand those things. Over here in Meridian, that was the changeover. What did Bobby Wells have to do with it? I'm going to try to close here because there's a lot more I want to say. I always got a lot I want to say to you, but I have to wait the next time. Brother Bobby coming up indicated that Brother Branham was finished at the Episcopal, then through the wilderness, then the resurrection. Why, Brother Bobby Wells? Because he was with us when the change came, when we saw Brother Branham's death and saw the vision and the ring was put on our finger, the wedding coming in, which showed the catching up of the bride. Brother Bobby Wells had to do with it. This acrylic that you see, this red acrylic, I want to mention it to you again. This red acrylic came out of Hialeah, the only place they say in the world where you can get it. Came out of Hialeah. You can sit under that red acrylic, take your Bible that's rolled in red, look at it when all the other lights is off. That which is covered with the blood is gone. The scarlet's made white as wool. Amen. The rapture. That's what it had to do with in the change. The revelation of Jesus Christ is the rapture. You understand what I'm saying? All right. So then this acrylic had to do with it. Bob Wells was the one that was down there. Where the acrylic come from? When the angel came to us. So then the acrylic had to do with Bob Wells, had to do with Little Bethlehem, and what we were doing had to do with Little Bethlehem here. That this was the beginning of the last move of God that would sweep the earth and rapture everything away. That's why the trans world radio thing is coming in. The radio stations and Harvest of Herald, and why it's going into about 20 foreign languages or more, and why it's burning like a fire everywhere. I went to get my insurance today for the car over to Allstate inside of Sears. And I mentioned something. He said, "Where's your place, Brother Pike?" I just thought, he said, "I know exactly where it's at." Said, "I've been by there a number of times." Said, "I got a mental picture of it." Hallelujah. Little Bethlehem. Now, there's just so many more things that I'd like to say here, but I can tell you're wearing on me just a little bit. But there's so many more things that I'd like to say. But anyway, Bob Wells has to do with the changing over of it. That is dovetailing it out when it goes over to the Meridian meeting and the coming in of this ministry, which is the rapture of the church. When I said everything would turn to the revelation of Jesus Christ and the brethren would bear witness that on the radio program, people are shook up all around. Either preachers that ain't never talked about the revelation of Jesus Christ. One of them said today he had spent 2/3 of his life studying the Bible, and all of a sudden he shook up over the book of Revelation called the revelation of Jesus Christ. Why is that? Because there's something that's taking place. I want you to stand with me. There's so many things, folks, that I would like to say. I really would. But I think you've been a good audience to listen the way you have. And I've been having a little problem as far as weariness here lately. And it really takes God to be able to press on with perseverance and bring a message this lengthy to you and try to explain what I'm trying to explain, because they're heavenly things and you just can't do it with your natural mind. All right, look at her. Isn't that perfect? Sister Lynn has got those chart of forms. You'll have to meet me at my house tonight. All is going. We're in a rapture. Sign those chart of forms down there tonight as to the final on it. Now, don't get discouraged because going to Sweden ain't the rapture. Amen. I'm just speaking of a type, folks. You understand what I'm saying? There's a group of people. It's just a little group. I told Sister Betty, I said, there won't be many of them going. Not comparatively speaking to what we got here. So, there's 23 of us, 23 that's going. All right. So, if that's right, that makes 22 in the pastor. That'd be just right, wouldn't it? So then, it fits just right. Scientists say there's 22 conductive nerves from the eye to the brain. That's a vision. The vision. So if you will, meet us down there tonight, folks, after the service. We've run through this. We've had to crowd a lot of things in, but some of it is scattered around through the books and on the tapes and many things in your mind. And a lot of things maybe we'll never get to say, but enough to where you can understand the reality of it and believe it. Meet us down there. And we got about, I guess there'll probably be 4 more weeks anyway, longer before we make the trip to Sweden. We've already bought 6 weeks from tomorrow. And we've already bought 110,000 sheets of paper for them to have here to run tracks and all kind of things on while we're gone. Supplies and different things. We bought sheetrock and bought lumber and all kind of things so that we can work. And I trust that I'll get in this next 6 weeks, I can get in here with you. And all of you work women try to get everything ready for a camp meeting, because camp meeting has to do with Pentecost, which is the rapture of the church. And I want to be ready, don't you? Amen. How do you want to be ready? Amen. You love the Lord? How do you love the Lord? Amen. All right. You know, if you took, let's see. If you took 6 weeks, you'd have somewhere in the neighborhood of 40 days, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you? 40, 42 days. Somewhere in the neighborhood of 40. You know, shadows is not always just exactly like the image. Sometimes it's stretched out of proportion. But enough to let you know. He was resurrected from the dead, seen of the brethren 40 days, and then caught up into heaven. Isn't that right? At Pentecost. I'm looking for something out of this meeting, brethren, that's coming forth. People's eyes are going to be open this camp meeting. That's right. This is when the leaven mixes with the unleavened, and everything will be mixed together. So you better hold on to your... What about that? The lady that's given us the tickets up there, her name means Peter the Rock, Master of Masters. That's pretty good. That all the water? That's really allegoric. Brother Taylor don't ever run out of water. It's rude. All right, so then I love you tonight. I appreciate you. God, forgive me if I've wearied you, you know, within myself. I trust that I've tried to tell you, you know, what he wanted you to know. And I ask you to pray for me. Let's work together. The woman's been caught up to the moon. The child has been caught up to the revelation. And the woman has gone away into a wilderness. The 7 years of purification is soon to hit America. The end of the church ages. Let's just pray, because Brother Branham said this year was the end. The final end, the blowing up. The manifestation of the book of Revelation that John saw, where the islands move.
He said to you just before camp meeting, Uncle Charlie's B50.
Frank was just telling us that just before camp meeting, Brother Charlie had to be 50 years old. That'd be something, won't it? 50 means Pentecost. That's something Brother Charlie has to do with that revelation. I believe I bring it out in spiritual conquest concerning Charlie, Centerville, and what it has to do with it. There's just so many multiplied things. And you're involved in it. Numbers of you are involved in it. Of course, the whole body of Christ is involved in it. The whole world's involved in it.
Hallelujah.
But it'd take me a little bit too long to name all of it. Let's sing a little chorus together. Let's just love one another. You say, what is the revelation of Jesus Christ, Brother Pike? It's the mind of God. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, who didn't get it in college. Somebody say amen. I said they didn't run this through seminary. It's not wrote in the textbooks. You don't find it in the natural page of the written word. It's revealed from heaven, the revelation of Jesus Christ. Let's sing a little chorus together, can we? I need Thee, oh, I need Thee every hour. I need Thee, I need Thee now. Sweet Jesus, oh, how I need Thee. Somebody would say, now, Brother Pike, how can the revelation of Jesus Christ rapture me? You know how? As a man thinketh, so he is. Because his thinking produces his believing. If you are sick, but if you believe that you are healed by his stripes, it becomes manifest in your body. Isn't that right? Just get to thinking you're healed from your heart, not your head. As you think in your heart, if you think you're well, you're well. that right? We can't think. We can't think that we are in heaven unless we are told by the voice of God that we are in heaven. Isn't that right? We can't believe we're healed unless the voice of God tells it. But there's one thing about it. If my natural mind, if the world is put in my heart as a mind, and that mind has me in the captivity due to my environment, and I'm gravitationally held to this environment by that mind, then if I get the mind of God, the kingdom of God within my heart, then the world goes out. And I'm no more bound gravitationally to the dust, for of the dust thou art, to the dust thou shalt return. I'm not of the dust. I shall not return to the dust. I'm not relative to that mind of the beast. I'm relative to that mind of the rapture. Is that right? That spirit went up when it came from the grave. That body went up, not down. That that was relative to the beast went down. The soul of the beast goes down, but this one goes up. Isn't that right? So if it's revealed to me in here, and then I believe the revealing, that I pass from death unto life. I've been chosen out of this world. I'm not in this world, but I'm in heaven. That I'm not anymore George Pye, but I'm bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh and body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that we dwell in heaven. Come on now. They that are of the resurrection dwell in heaven, isn't it right? And I said, wait till the resurrection. Jesus said, I am the resurrection. I'm the truth. I'm the life. He that believeth on me, he's already in the resurrection. He done passed from death unto life. So then, if this is revealed to me, if this is the mind, if this is the teaching, if this is an understanding, if this thing takes control of me and I believe it and I get in it and become part of it, it becomes part of me. As a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. I want to say this again. You're not a carpenter because you think you're a carpenter. You're not a doctor because you think you're a doctor. You can't whip a lion just because you think you can. So then thinking that you are a doctor doesn't make you a doctor. So that isn't what I mean. That's your thoughts of your head. But if you think as a doctor thinks, in the terms of a doctor, if you have the knowledge of a doctor, thinking in the terms of a doctor, your thoughts are a doctor's term to think, and then you are a doctor. You understand? So then is a man thinking in his heart, if he gets this thing in him, he becomes part of him. Then he's been translated. Enoch was translated by faith. Faith of what? By knowledge it was revealed to him. He believed it. That is the transformation of mind, a translation of your spirit, a transfiguration of your body. The Bible said God hath already, not tomorrow, but already hath translated us into the marvelous kingdom of our God. Brethren, I am already in the kingdom of God. Jesus said, Nicodemus, I am already in heaven. I'm sitting in the heavenly places. I know about it. I've heard about it. I believe it. And the world passed away. Peter said, you're the people upon whom the end of the world's come. That was back there at Calvary. Over the church ages came. The man child was caught up. I'm the body that was caught up. Bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. You say, where do you get that? The Bible said, where I am, there shall my servant be also. Isn't that right? We are here together with Christ. Where's Christ? In heaven. We are here together with Christ, whom the heavens have received until the time of the restitution of all things. What is that? The manifestation of the sons. That the world can see what we are and who we are. I already know who we are and what we are. He told me, I believe it. That's what made me. When he told me I believe it, the faith made me then. It translated me into the kingdom of God just like it translated Enoch into the kingdom of God. For God has translated me into the marvelous kingdom of God. A lot of people standing around, they've never heard it. Having ears, they didn't hear what the Spirit said. They've never seen it, never comprehended it with the eyes of understanding. Isn't that right? They're not in heaven, they're in the earth. The world is in their heart. Isn't that right? They think worldly. All of their labors for their belly, because God put the serpent on his belly. All of his labors to feed his belly, make his belly comfortable, the body. But we're caught up into heaven, folks. It's the rapture. It's the translation. It comes forth. We believe it. And the Bible said we're changed from glory to glory. Isn't that right?
beholding as it was our face in a mirror, changed into the image of God from glory to glory, into bone of his bone, flesh of flesh, not our living but Christ. Where is Christ? In heaven. He told Nicodemus so. No sickness, that ended at Calvary. No poverty, that ended at Calvary. No worry, that ended at Calvary. How could worry be in heaven? How could sickness be in heaven? How could poverty be in heaven? That ended at Calvary. We pass from that, my brethren. If thou canst believe, if thou canst believe, all things are possible in the believe. You say, I just can't believe it. I wish you could. Have faith in the word, Jesus said. For the word is spirit and life. It translates you into the kingdom. Have faith in God. He's a spirit. Your faith will transformate you into a oneness with him. Preserve you forever. It is the rapture, the mind of God, rapturing the church like a thief in the night. Coming, picking you up from glory to glory. We're on a journey to another country, shining out across the sea. Crossing over the Jordan. What is the Jordan? The old carnal mind of reason and education that caused the fall in the garden. It binds you to the gravitational powers of your human desire and passions and lust and labor for your belly, the old serpent. Are you listening? Instill the mind in you. John said a generation of vipers, but we've escaped that now with the body of the Lord Jesus on this side of Calvary. Not you living, that's buried, dead, gone. That mind that bound you to the world is gone. That was the law, sin and death. You were under that. I'm married to the new man now. If I'm married to the new man, I'm a new body. Because whoever I'm married to, he's my head. I'm bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. I married him. Isn't that right? Who'd you marry? The Christ of the resurrection, the second man, Adam. Is that right? Is that right? All right. So then it's the rapture, the mind of God. As we hear it, we understand it. We believe it, but the wicked shall not understand. How for then can they believe? They can't believe, for they cannot see. If they're blind, leave their blind, they all fall into the ditch. But we shall know when it's nigh at hand. See these things, the gospel in all the world, then shall the end come. Brother Branham said this year it's over. I believe it, don't you? Can you sing that chorus again? I want thee, oh, I want thee every hour. I want thee. Remember the book that brought the rapture and the dream? I want thee now. Sweet Jesus, oh, how I want thee. Can you sing it again? I need